And so just a little bit of trivia to start. You know, it seems like 911 has been around forever, but actually it's only been since like 1968. Did you know that? I know, not that long ago. And the first 911 call was answered by a congressman, and he just said, hello, you know. And but now we use it all the time. And, you know, if you have ever called 911, they go, 911 emergency. Sometimes they put you on hold. I'm like, how are you going to put me on hold and I have an emergency? Anyway, they go, 911 emergency, what's the nature of your problem, right? So we are going to, and what, you know, just thinking about what is an emergency. Webster's defines an emergency as a serious, unexpected, and often dangerous situation that requires immediate action, And as an emergency physician, this profession is only about, I think it's only like 40 to 50 years old. And, you know, you have your pediatricians that take care of babies, and you have your internists that take care of, you know, medical problems. You have surgeons that, you know, take out your gallbladder and this kind of thing. But they realize that when people have an emergency, they need someone there that knows about all the specialties and how to manage those emergencies in each specialist, find out what's wrong, and get those people the treatment and to the places that they need to go. So they have trained people to do just that. So when you have a car accident or you're having a heart attack, you know, you don't have to get the surgeon out of the OR or get the cardiologist out of the cath lab. You can go to the emergency department and they can take care of you and try to prolong your life despite the emergency, right? So let's give a scenario here. For instance, you are in a car accident and your car goes down an embankment and it's in like a ravine or something, and you see blood, you're hurting, you're not really sure what's going on, but you're able to get your cell phone and you call 911. So you make the call for 911, and then you are confident that the ambulance is coming, aren't you? You're confident in this system, even though it just started in 1968, that when you call 911 and that you tell them what's happened, that they'll send somebody to get you. But how about if you're down there and you're bleeding and you're waiting and the car's in a ravine, it's not on the main street, then, you know, the next thing that happens is thoughts start to come. Like, they're taking really long and I'm kind of losing a lot of blood, and what if they don't come? Or what if they come over here and my car's down in this gully, they may not be able to find me. What if I'm gonna die? All these what ifs, right? So you make the call, you know that they're coming, you thought they were coming, but now there's a delay. Now you have all these what ifs, and so you try to be positive, right? And then you try to stay calm. You remind yourself, you know, well, so-and-so, they said 911 came right away and they got there and they were okay and I don't think it's this bad, and you try to reassure yourself. Then they take you to the emergency department and you have to trust that those people know how to take care and find out what's going on with you. So you're putting your trust out there again, you know? And then you're expecting that they're able to help you. Those are the steps pretty much with any emergency when you call 911. So we're going to use those same steps and we're going to think about life emergencies. When you make your 911 call, then you are sending out the word of God and reminding yourself that it's not going to return void. It's coming, right? When those imaginations come that what if it doesn't happen? What if I'm not healed? What if this doesn't turn around? You're casting down those imaginations and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? So then you're being calm, right? You got to stay calm. How do you stay calm? You got to pray. You stay calm before the fact. You put everything in it before that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Then you got to get to the emergency department where there's someone there that can help you and boldly approach the throne of grace. You're going to trust the staff. You got to learn how to trust God. And you're going to expect, you're going to go with expectation that this is going to work. Amen? So that's what we're going to go through today. And I just was thinking about a couple of major emergencies in our life, and I wanted to give you the appropriate verses, because if you're calling 911, you don't want the fire department to show up if you are having a heart attack, right? And you don't want the emergency doctors to show up if your house is burning down. You have to send out the call so that they can send the appropriate response team. So they're like, what's the nature of your emergency? So you, if you're having, for instance, identified five major life emergencies, and I just wanted to give you, since most people have had these come up or will have these come up, I wanted to give you the appropriate 911 to send out, okay? And the first one is money problems. Who in here has ever had or is having or thinking about to have a money problem? Every hand, all right? So what are money problems? You know, you don't have enough money to pay the bills. You're about to lose your job. You're thinking, then the thoughts come, what are the kids going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Money problems, all right? How about marriage problems? Don't raise your hand, but we all, you know, it's a, you know, the butterflies and all the little happy feelings, they kind of go away after you've been married a little bit, and sometimes you just don't even know how you're going to get through another day because they're getting on your last nerves. You know I'm telling the truth. You love them with all your heart, but do they get on your nerves, ladies? Yes. You know, if I pick up another sock off the floor, and after I've been married this year 29 years, and do you know I fell in the toilet the other day because he left the seat up? I'm like, 29 years of training. So stuff still happens, and you know, those warm fuzzies are gone. So marriage problems, we don't talk anymore. I can't forgive him, or he can't forgive me. And I think he's cheating, or we don't love each other anymore, and he's changed, or I'm changed. It's an emergency. Amen? How about children problems? Your children are gone south. You don't even know how those kids came out of your family. What happened to, where is that adorable child that used to be so obedient and so nice? Now they're hanging with the wrong friends, they're dressing like crazy, their hair looks jacked up, you know, they're doing the wrong things, they could be sleeping around, doing drugs, disrespectful, they don't talk to you. You know, you're like, you know, you try to start a conversation and they're answering with these one-syllable words, you're like, who are you? And bring my son back here right now, right? Children problems. How about health problems? You know, you get a bad report from the doctor. They told you, you know, you only have this amount of time to live, or you have this awful thing going around, or, you know, and you're hurting, or your body's hurting, they don't really know why, or, you know, you have some illness that's causing you pain. Health problems, okay? And then I call the last category trauma or fear problems. And, you know, I can't tell you the amount of people that have a problem in this area, and this is, you've either been physically or mentally abused by at a hand of a loved one or a spouse, hurt by the hand of another with maybe a rape or a robbery or something that has caused you to just live in fear. You can't put the past behind you, and this is kind of hindering everything that you do in life from this point forward, okay? So we talked about money, marriage, children, health, and fear emergencies. And we're going to do the same steps that we do for a natural emergency. And the first one is we got to call 911. You know, and the turn to Mark 11:22 for a minute. Okay, it says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So it's talking about speaking to mountains. Speaking to the children emergency, speaking to the money emergency, to the marriage emergency, amen? And when you think about it, I had this big conversation with a group the other day. We have Bible study in our home, and they said that they pray in their mind. And I was like, so when God spoke the world into existence, did he think it or did he say it? Let there be light, and there was light. Does this verse say, speak to the mountain or think it removed? You know? And the tongue has the power of life and death, right? The tongue is so important. And I don't know, that might have been for somebody. That wasn't even in my notes. But if you've been thinking it, it's time to speak it. You have to call 911. You have to send it out the right spot for your emergency, right? So you start speaking the word of God. If that's how Jesus had to do it, right, then that's how you have to do it. And, you know, he spoke to the fig tree. He always verbally did it, okay? And, you know, they say the tongue, you know, and the Bible talks about how the little teeny rudder can steer a big cruise ship, and the little bit in the horse's mouth can train the horse which way to go. And that's how powerful the tongue is, the power of life and death. So, for instance, so here's some ammunition. So you send out the right response team. You have a money problem. You want to send out Philippians 4:19. It says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Every need. That includes your rent, your doctor bills, your food, your kids' shoes, your car note, every need. Amen? So when you're standing on the word of God and you're sending out this emergency response team, you're standing on that believing every need is met. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So if I seek God, all will be added. All what? The Bible talks about how he supplies all the needs of the lilies of the field and the grass, right? So they don't have to worry about anything, and God is telling you, you don't have to worry about anything. So these are just a few verses in each of these emergency problems. If you don't know how to use your concordance, I know that these have been problems in my life, and I think that everybody has had these emergencies. Write down these verses, put them on a little card in your pocket, and when the devil tries to come into your mind, you pull it out and you speak it, right? Because you're standing on it expecting a response to occur. The second one was our marriage or loved one problem. And, you know, we just had the marriage retreat last weekend. And in thinking about marriage and loved one problems, I think that one of the biggest things that happens in marriage and with your loved ones is two things are pride and unforgiveness. Because, you know, you can't just be two bulls butting head with no one wanting to back down. And when you start thinking, how could he do this to me? How could she do this to me? How could they hurt me this way? I never would have done that to them. It's all about me, right? And sometimes you know that you know that you know that you're right, but because you're doing it as unto God, you apologize because the relationship is more important than your pride. So you stand on Proverbs 16:18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." 1 Corinthians 13:4, you got to remind yourself, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. So there's no room for pride when it comes to trying to save a marriage or heal a relationship with a family member or a friend, because God is about love. So what's the most important thing? That you're right or the relationship? People always win. So if you're thinking, well, Lord, and you're praying, change them, fix them, they did this, he's going to say, who's more important, that you're right or this person that I died on the cross for, right? Unforgiveness, Mark 11:25. You know, we just read Mark 11:22-24, talking about speak to the mountain. Well, look at the 25th verse. It says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." So it sounds to me like if you don't forgive, maybe you can't claim the previous verses. You want to be able to speak to the mountain of financial emergency and speak to the mountain of marriage emergency, then you have to forgive, just as God has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." So as long as you're holding on to that, you're just opening yourself up for the devil to come in. You're giving him a foothold into that relationship, into that marriage. So pride and forgiveness have to go hand in hand. And you remind yourself of that. You renew your mind to that. And that emergency will be gone. The third one is children problems. You know, Psalm 127:3 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing." And I put that one there because sometimes I got to remind myself. I have 5 children, and just so I don't kill one of them every now and again, I say Psalm 127, God said they're a blessing. I might have to say that several times a day as I, you know how your arm grows as you reach to snatch somebody back with a sharp tongue? My kids have mouths. They just have these mouths. They're very educated. They're very intelligent. And I've taught them to speak out, but not against me. And they forget that. I've taught them to stand up for what is right and justice and you know, to be verbal and not be timid and all that. And I realize that I've taught them well because they got stuff to say about everything now. I'm like, so remember, they're a gift from God. They're a real blessing. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So when they're being disrespectful, when they're hanging out with the wrong crowd, when their pants are sagging and their hair is green and they piercing every part of their body without your knowledge, you have to remember, I've trained them up, and when they're old, no matter when that comes, I'm expecting that they're going to have a relationship with God. I'm expecting that they are going to be, you know, loving him, serving him, and blessed in a city, blessed in a field, that, you know, all my hard work, everything that's been instilled in them, it will come to fruition. Just don't see it right now, but it's coming, right? Health problems. Try Psalm 103, 2 through 4. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Every single one of them. So if he heals all your diseases, then whatever the doctor says is not the truth. He believes it's the truth because he's basing it on man. But you know that you serve a God of impossibilities coming to reality, right? 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. You notice that that's past tense? It happened when he took the stripes on his back on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. So if you were healed then, why are you suffering now? If you don't receive your healing right now, then you're making everything that Jesus did on that cross for nothing. You know, and he's there, and he's told you, he's already given us all that he's going to give us. We just have to receive it. We have to use that powerful tongue to speak life, continuously speak life, right? And the last one, the trauma problem. You know, you just have to sometimes encourage yourself, edify yourself. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. We got to remember that. When feelings of depression are coming on you and you're forgetting that you're a new creature in Christ, that the old has passed away, you got to remember that he's there all the time. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You know, no one can change what's happened to you in the past except for the Holy Spirit. It happened. It's a fact. But the pain and the trauma of what happened, you don't have to carry into your future, right? So you've made the 911 call by sending out the appropriate verse for whatever emergency you're facing. Now, here come the imaginations. Remember, the ambulance is delayed. You're laying down there. You're hurting and you're bleeding. So you have to cast down imaginations. You have to be positive. You have to remember that the word is not going to return void. When you send out the word, you remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? It was still there looking vibrant. And it wasn't until they were on their return trip that they saw that it was dead. Because when he spoke that word, that instant, that tree died, but it was at the root. It was under the ground and you couldn't see it. So the minute you send out that word, it's doing what you sent it out to do. Even though you don't see it, we got to walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't matter what you see. If we could renew our minds to the fact that it doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what you see, the only thing that matters is the word of God every single time. We wouldn't be crying and moaning and sniffling and snotting all the time because we know that his word doesn't return void. Amen? Can you think of a time when Satan intended something to hurt you and God turned it around for good? You remember when you were so in love and you wanted to marry him and how crushed you were when you guys broke up, you knew you'd never find anybody else like that until you met your husband. And later you found out that that guy maybe had a bad drug habit or was in prison or whatever. And you say, Lord, thank you that you didn't allow me to get with him, because now I see. Because we only see a little finite little circle, and he sees the whole span of your life. But when you were in the womb, he saw it all right then. You got to trust him. Amen? How about when you wanted to buy a house and you were so devastated when your loan fell through and you couldn't qualify or something, right? And then later, when you're in another house, you find out that if you had bought that house, all those residents are suing the builder because there was some major problem with the house and their houses are falling apart and all this, and there's a big mega lawsuit going on, and you're like, oh, praise God, I didn't get into that little trap, right? Or you wanted to go to school to be something, a buyer for a major store or something, and your financial aid didn't come through. They said, you know, you don't have enough money to pay. And then because God put you in the right place at the right time, you got a better job making more money than you ever would have made there. You know, you have got to be positive, even when the thoughts come. Because whatever Satan has intended for bad, God's going to turn around for good. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. So I'm going to tell you a little secret. Do you know that when I was in high school, although I was a good student, actually, as far as streetwise knowledge, I guess I wasn't too intelligent because I had never heard of, Stanford University. I didn't know whether it was on the East Coast or in the South or wherever. I didn't know if it was a good school or a bad school. But I knew that this boy that I liked had gotten a football scholarship there. And I said, I think I'm applied to this Stanford University place. That's just God, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And anyway, so I get in, totally God, and my sophomore year, I'm doing a freshman orientation, and I run into a cute little guy named Larry Reynolds, you know, and 35 years later, we're married with 5 children and happy, you know, but but I went there without knowing anything about that school and without having a career path even. You know, I got in with some friends. They were like pre-law and pre-med, and I was like, oh, I want to help people. I think I'm going to go pre-med, just not smart. But anyway, so I met my husband. You know, I became a doctor, and it was just God ordering the steps of a righteous man. All I did was love him, and he ordered my steps. You just got to trust him. It wasn't any big plan and all this. I was just taking one step in the dark, in the blind, trusting God. That's it. So we make the 911 call. We send out the word, knowing it won't return void. We're positive. We're casting down imaginations. Remember that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And now we got to stay calm. So there's a couple, when you are in the midst of the storm, to stay calm, you would have had to prepare prior. You know, in the emergency department, we don't just wait until you get there. Like when you're down in the gully and they found you and you're bleeding, they make a call and they're like, we're coming in with sirens blazing. We got somebody who has a broken leg and a ruptured spleen and a head trauma and all this. So we're calling the neurosurgeon. We're getting the CAT scan ready. We're getting EKG ready. We got the bed ready. When they run in there with the ambulance, we're just ready to bounce all over that person. We've got all the specialties coming and all this. And that's why we can stay calm, because there's a plan for each and every situation. The reason why you feel like you're losing your mind when the emergency hits is because you haven't done the forethought for the planning, okay? So the planning includes a couple steps, 3 steps to stay calm in the storm, and they have to happen before the emergency. The first is you have to spend time with God. You have to be prayed up. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face. How often?
Always.
Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In everything, by prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. So you have to have spent time with God beforehand, be all prayed up beforehand, before your emergency hits. You with me? So to stay calm in the situation, you are praying and spending time with God. The second thing you're doing is you're building your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. How do you hear the word of God? For one, you speak it. You don't think it. You know, you, they say that you learn things the best if you could use all of your senses. If you could see it, if you could hear it, if you could eat it, that would help. But, you know, you can't avoid church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, don't avoid the assembling of the saints, because you're hearing the word of God over and over again. You ever hear a message and you feel like, did they know something about me? Because that was like kind of personal. It felt like, you know, maybe he was just preaching. Everybody felt that same way for a different aspect of that same message, right? All you have to do is show up and God ministers to you. That's why you can't avoid the assembling of the saints. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, what is the difference between what we hope for and faith? You know, we can hope that we are going to be free from debt and have a happy marriage and be free from disease all we want. But faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And with what happens with faith is action. So I'm hoping I'm going to be free from debt, then I need to make a plan on how I'm going to pay off these bills. Do I need to go to school to get a better job? Do I need to stop getting Starbucks and put that money away so that I can put that toward the debt that I have? Right? My marriage is falling apart. Do I need to make an appointment to see our staff here and talk about my marriage to try to pull it back together? You have to act to make it faith. You act as if it's already occurred. If I'm sick and I know that by his stripes I was healed, then I'm speaking, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Even though I look like terrible and I feel really bad, I know that I'm healed. Just like the fig tree, I don't see it yet, but I'm healed. The doctor told me I don't have this long to live, but I'm healed. My head is aching, I feel sick to my body, but I'm healed. And that's the only thing coming out of my mouth. I don't even receive that diagnosis, that whatever they told me. They say, oh, I'm sorry, but you got this. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. If you're going to come into my presence and talk doubt and unbelief, then I can't hang with you right now. I got the enemy speaking to me. I don't need you speaking to me, too. When Jesus went into the room to talk, you know, to heal the girl that was dead, he had to put all of them out the room. Sometimes you just got to release some people so you can get close to him. Get your faith in order. So with our money problem, we need to say, oh, my thing moved. Hold on. There you go. So you're using faith and you're putting action to whatever you're believing. So for your money problem, you need to say, I don't have to worry anymore. I'm speaking this because he supplies my every need. I'm seeking his kingdom, his righteousness. I'm not looking to the job or the man because God gives me the power for wealth. This is what's coming out of my mouth right now. For my marriage, I'm like, whether or not I'm the one in the right, it doesn't matter because the relationship is more important. I'm walking in love. I'm going to apologize because I'm doing it as unto God. In and of myself, I don't have the ability to forgive this person. I don't have the ability to do it. But through Christ, I can do all things. It's not because of this man. I can humble myself. Pride's not going to get in the way. And I can do it as unto God. I'm going to stay in this marriage as unto God. And I'm believing God that it's going to work out. Children problem. I'm expecting my children to develop a relationship with God for themselves because I trained them up in the way that they should go. And the Bible says they will not depart. Health problem. The Bible says he heals all my diseases. So regardless of what the doctor said, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I look like, regardless of what I feel like, I'm healed. If not, then Jesus went through all that for nothing. Trauma problem. Even though I've been traumatized, I got to remind myself every day that I'm a new creature in Christ, that I have a Heavenly Father who loves me, who'll never leave me or forsake me, that he's there for me in times of trouble. So if I'm applying faith to my dreams and my hopes, if I'm sending out the appropriate word, then I'm not crying. I'm not whining when I approach the throne. I'm not begging and pleading. I'm not sniffling. I sleep good at nights. I have sweet sleep because I'm in faith. You can't be in fear and be in faith at the same time. And I'm not rehearsing a bunch of what ifs with my friends and my family and everybody I come in contact with. Like, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm believing. But, you know, I was just thinking, like, what if it doesn't come through right now? I'm just thinking, like, what if this happens, what I'm going to do? No. Only positive, right? So you only speak the word on the matter. So you make the 911 call. You send out the word. It won't return void. You're positive and casting down imaginations. You're staying calm by praying, building your faith, and reading the word of God. That's the last step in staying calm. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on the word of God day and night. Be careful to do everything in it, and then you'll be prosperous and successful. You know, unless you meditate, you don't really know the word of God. We can read it. We've heard it. You don't realize whether you know it or not until you're in a situation where you have to apply it when you know it in your heart. You know, I thought I knew the word of God, and I was standing on the word of God, and about 5 years ago, I got a call, and they was like, you have an abnormality on your mammogram. I just felt like a whole heaviness, fear, everything. I forgot the word. I was like, for real? What'd you say? You know, it just leaves for a minute, and then you have to bring it, reel it back, reel yourself back in, Vanessa. It's okay, you know. But when fear comes, you got to cast that out so you can speak the word of God. You got to meditate on it until it's in you, that nobody can convince you otherwise, right? And you know, when you're reading the word of God, can I get a witness that nothing puts you to sleep faster? Who do you think that is? The enemy? You know, but you still got to open it and try because it's sinking into your spirit. You know, even when my kids, they're falling asleep, I know they're not paying attention. I make them sit there in church so it'll sink in. It's going in their subconscious or something. So when they need it, they can pull it on out. You got to sit up under the anointing, you know? All right, so we said we made the 911 call. We're positive, casting down imagination. We're staying calm by praying, building our faith, and reading the word of God. And now we get to the emergency department. We got to boldly approach the throne. How do you boldly approach the throne of grace? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to remember the God that you serve. He's all about love. He died for us on the cross. He's our creator. He's omnipotent, meaning all the power in the world is in his hands. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He can be there with you and here with me at the same time, all-knowing. He's unequal. There's not anything that can equal to the magnificence of God. He does not change. If he did it for them, he'll do it for me. He's eternal, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. You know, when Moses approached the bush, he's like, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. It was dirt, but because the power of God was there, it was holy. He's incomprehensible. I can't understand how when you add up your bills, you know, the outs are more than the ins, and yet we're fine. We're able to be a blessing to others. You know, it's incomprehensible how he can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's just. We didn't get what we deserved. He loves us. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. All our needs are met according to his riches and glory. Jehovah Makedah is our sanctification. He set us apart for his plan and purpose. There's a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. We can't work our way into the kingdom. You know, we would never be righteous if it wasn't for what he did on the cross. But because of what he did, now we are righteous. Now we can boldly approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. He's Jehovah Shalom. When all the emergencies hit at once, you know, Satan, when it rains, it pours. He's not going to say, oh, because you've got this sickness, I'm not going to attack your finances. But he's still there. He's Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, our healer. John 10:17 says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. this charge I have received from my Father. Who else can say that? They didn't kill him. They didn't crucify him. He allowed himself. He could get up anytime he wanted, but he did it for us. That's how powerful our God is. So you can boldly approach the throne as you remember the God that you serve, as you remember his faithfulness. Has he ever been faithful in your life? You know, there's numerous examples in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. They say, I don't see three anymore, but now I see four, and one looks like the Son of God. Abraham, he said, you know, your seed is going to be as the stars in the sky. And he was old man, but God was faithful. The children of Israel had the Egyptians following right behind, but he parted the sea. He gave them manna to eat. He fed the 5,000 with, you know, a few fish and loaves of bread. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He's been faithful. And I think you can think of times when he's been faithful to you. And these are the things you have to remember as you approach his throne. Then you have to remember his words. And I just put a few verses here. Deuteronomy 31:8. This is a Bible study. I'm sorry there's so many verses, but if it's not for the word of God, I don't know how to make it. And so I want to give you guys some ammunition. Am I okay?
Yes.
All right. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. This is some things that's, you know, ammunition to put in your pocket. You just need to read that every now and again when you feel like you're all alone, when all these emergencies are striking at once. Psalm 9:9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. You know what a stronghold in times of trouble? I get a picture of you are drowning, finances down, marriage falling apart, kids acting funky, and you just treading water. And, you know, my son Jared, he got his, his scuba certificate, right? And when they were training for it, you had to tread water for, I forgot how long, but you could stay in the middle for as long, but you could not touch the sides for like an hour or something, right? And I feel like sometimes when the problems hit, you're like that. You know, when you're treading and your legs feel like spaghetti and you just start going and you just barely taking breaths and whatever. And then somebody throws you a life raft, you know, or what do you call little donut things? Life preserver, lifesaver thing, you know, and that's the word of God, you know, that's what you got to pull out when you feel like you're drowning. What's the next one? Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know, that means that you are on the path that God chose for you to be on. And whatever comes your way, when the storms are coming and the wind is blowing, your feet are planted and he set them there. You will not be moved. Nothing can move you. Not financial problem, marriage problem, children's problem. I will not be moved. I'm not going to go to the left. I'm not going to go to the right. But I'm only going to go on the path that God has called me to walk on. You can't change me. Only he can change me. I'm going to listen to him. He's going to give me direction on which way to go. And nothing is going to move me. Not what the doctor says. Not what the bills show. Not what my kids are doing. Not what I see. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. Amen? All right. So the fifth thing you have to do, we call 911. We're positive. We're casting down imaginations. We're staying calm by praying, building our faith, and reading the word of God. We got to the emergency department. We know how to boldly approach the throne of grace, remembering who we serve, right? And remembering his faithfulness and remembering the word of God. And now we got to trust the staff that they've been properly trained to do what they're supposed to do to help you find out what's the issue. So we got to trust God. You know, a lot of times people know the word and they say, yeah, I know that you're telling me that he's no respecter of persons and stuff, and you tell me how he healed her and everything, but I'm just wondering, you know, I just don't know if he's going to do it for me. Have you ever said that? I wonder if it's going to work for me. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and everything has become new. Think about where you were last year and where you are this year. Has God changed you? Can you, you know, I may not be able to say anything about you guys, but for me, that word of God has been true. My experience tells me that I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm not the same that I was yesterday. I've changed. So your own experience, regardless of whether you know the word and you know all these scriptures and verses and you can quote it or whatever, your experience, your living tells you that God is faithful and his word is true. If you're different than how you came into the kingdom, you see anything different, maybe everything's not right now. You don't have all your eggs in order and everything. But has anything changed for the better since you came to know Jesus? Then his word is true, isn't it? And, you know, there have been proven miracles. We talked about, you know, how he raised people from the dead and how he resurrected himself is a miracle. They have the shrine there. They just found the garment. They didn't find him. The imprint of his face was in it, but he's gone. He's the only God that everybody else serves these gods, but ours is no longer there. He's not in the grave, not like Buddha and everybody else. He's gone. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and you and you and you and you every single hour of every single day. Amen? You know, there's this whole chart, and I looked it up online. I just put a few things here of his fulfillment of prophecies. And it gives the when they were prophesied and when the prophecy was fulfilled, and, you know, to prove that the word of God is so true. You know, he was born of the seed of the woman and born of a virgin, a seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Judah, from the family line of Jesse, born in Bethlehem. You know, Herod did kill the children. These things are things that were fulfilled. So you can count on the word of God. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever and ever and ever. You know it in your heart to be true because of the experience and the life that you have lived. Amen? And the last thing is you're there and you are expecting help. You're expecting this problem to be fixed. Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Doesn't say he thought about it or looked at everything you did wrong and tried to decide whether you're worthy of having this prayer answered. It said that he answered. He delivered you. Psalm 34, 10 says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. All your needs. Psalm 34, 17 says, when the righteous cry for help, are we the righteousness of God?
Yes.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues from all their troubles. So we have life emergencies, whatever they are, whether they fell into those categories I gave you or whether they didn't. We got to send out the word to call 911 to get the help that we need. We got to remember that the word of God is not going to return void. We got to stay positive when those imaginations come and cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We got to pray. We got to build our faith and read the word so that when the emergency hits, we can stay calm. We don't have any fears because we know it to be true. We put in the work beforehand. We got to get to the emergency department. We got to boldly approach the throne of grace. We got to trust the staff. Trust God. You learn to trust by spending time with him. And we got to expect that he's going to come through because his word does not return void. We've seen all the prophecies that have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So no more crying, ladies. No more sniffling. No more looking at the problem and thinking it's bigger than the God that you serve. The Almighty God, the Holy God, the Righteous God. We are victorious in the name of Jesus today. Amen?
That was amazing. I don't think anyone else